Welcome to a Watermark Learning Conversation. My name is Andrea Brockmeyer, and I'm here with Elizabeth Larson to talk about the AI digital world. Elizabeth, it's terrific to be here with you today.
I'm really delighted to be here, Andrea.
Terrific. All right. So what is it all about? What is this digital thing all about? We hear about the digital business. We hear about digital economies. We hear about people in roles, digital business analysts. What is this all about?
I think the term digital comes from initiatives that organizations have been undertaking called digital transformation. And that's just a big term that means that they want to take advantage of digital technologies, such as AI, such as machine learning, robotics, RPA, robotics process automation, anything relating to data mining, predictive analytics, and the processes that organizations have to undergo in order to take advantage of these technologies. So I think that's where the term digital came from, digital transformation. Nowadays, more common term that's used is just AI. Artificial intelligence is the umbrella term that everyone's using for these technologies.
Okay, so artificial intelligence. So does that mean the robots are coming to take all of our jobs away? Is that what that's all about?
I don't think in the immediate future that's something that we need to worry about. But what it does mean, when we're talking about AI as an umbrella term, or machine learning, it's the ability of machines to use data, history, historical data, and learn from it. So that when new data comes in, they can learn from that and make predictions. New data comes in again, they learn from that and they make even better predictions. So it's the ability to use historical data for the most part. Use historical data, make predictions, keep learning, making more and more decisions. And that's what the term AI means.
Okay. So if I'm a project manager, my job isn't really changing. I mean, my project, I'm just using some technology. Isn't that sounds like that's the case?
I think it is the case for both project managers and business analysts. You're still going to be doing the same tasks. You'll be using the same techniques. You need the same competencies. So to that extent, no, your job will not be changing. However, the expertise that you're going to need is just things are exponentially more complex than they've ever been. And I think it is important for both project managers and BAs to have some AI expertise. And again, I'm using the term AI just as a generic umbrella term.
Okay. So does that, so they sound pretty significant in scope. Is this maybe beyond even a project? It sounds like perhaps maybe these aren't even small projects.
They're not small projects. I like to think of them as AI initiatives.
Okay.
And of course, before we have an initiative, we need an AI strategy. There's a lot that organizations need to think about. But yes, we have initiatives that will be broken down into programs that, again, will be broken down into projects. But these are big things, and we have to look at, as I said, an AI strategy. And one of the reasons, one of the pitfalls, is organizations who fail to do that. They just say, I want this AI project, and people run off with that solution, and things don't go as expected.
Okay. So let's say I'm a BA or a PM. How might it be different? What would be different if I'm working in an initiative as part of an AI strategy that would have been different from working on something, say, you know, before we had AI?
So there are a lot of directions we could take that question. So a couple of things. Again,
take us somewhere.
we'll go somewhere, and then we can come back and go someplace else. There are, as I said, we're still going to be doing our tasks. There are a lot of similarities, but there are some differences. I think of those differences more or less as differences in focus. And there are a lot of differences in focus. So again, things are way more complex. I think, and let me step back and say that I think the role of both the project manager and the business analyst primarily is to be a trusted advisor. Whether we're doing that at a strategic level or tactical level, we need to provide some kind of direction or try and influence the approach that organizations are taking to these AI initiatives. So it does seem to me, again, some of the differences in focus. First of all, a security focus. Now, we've always gotten our security requirements, our non-functional requirements. We've thought about security. But to me, in my projects, it's always been more of an afterthought. Oh, we've created this great new database. Now maybe we ought to think about who can access it and who right. can change the information and whatnot. Now, security and the related digital trust is just a huge factor on our projects. And so our security stakeholders, who in the past it's been, as I said, well, we better talk to those people. Mm-hmm. Now it's like front and center. They are a major, major stakeholder, and probably some of the first conversations we're going to want to have. So the focus on security is one change in focus.
Okay.
The expertise that we needed, there's a change in focus there. Now, I've always said that both BAs and PMs, the more expertise we have, the more effective we're going to be at our jobs, which is basically, again, to be trusted advisors mm-hmm. to be able to make really good, solid recommendations. So we need, of course, we've always needed business expertise. The more, the merrier. We've always needed, I maintain some technical expertise. I've always said the more we have, the better off we are. We've needed expertise and leadership and a lot of other kinds of things in our industry and project management, business analysis. Now, some of the expertise we need to understand some basic algorithms and the impacts that those algorithms are going to have on the organization. Now, you're looking at a person that the very word algorithm strikes terror in my very bones.
Yeah, we have some company here in this room, in fact.
And the idea of learning, as an example, a parametric versus a non-parametric, and why would I use one versus the other? These are things that both PMs and BAs need to know. Now, we don't need to be data scientists. We're not going to be data scientists. But we need to know enough to understand some basic things. Are the algorithms that are being created by data scientists, for example, are they going to meet the organization's objectives? Do they have built-in biases in them? Are the business rules that are being created, are they being created in the best interest of the organization? Is it the data scientist? Are they talking to the business stakeholders? What's going on with, because basically business rules are driving your AI applications. So, a lot of things here. So the concept of the expertise that we need just enough to be able to be good translators, to be able to make sure that the organization is getting the value out of these AI initiatives that they were expecting.
So that sounds like nuts and bolts BA and to some extent PM work, that, you know, that translating and making sure that your stakeholders are talking to each other. That's what it sounds like.
The translator role is really, really, really important. I am fascinated by the fact that some of the journals that I read, and I personally like Forbes and HBR, Harvard Business Review, those are two of my favorite. Almost every day there's something on AI that I read about. In the last, I'm going to say about 6 months, there have been so many articles on the importance of the translator role. Now, they're not specifically saying a project manager or a business analyst, but they're saying a translator role, something at the intersection between the data scientists and the business strategic decision makers. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I see this perfect as an example for the BA. I mean, the BA has always been a translator.
Right.
The BA has always translated requirements into designs, development, da-da-da-da, and back again to make sure stakeholders are getting what they want. One of the big pitfalls, and it was several years ago, I think it was Computer World compiled a list of 10 of the biggest pitfalls that organizations are apt to step into, and they're not avoiding very well, related to AI projects. And one of them was, first of all, having the data scientists making business decisions, coming up with those business rules. Second was that those data scientists that actually talked to the business stakeholders didn't understand what they were saying. Mm-hmm. And so data scientists would ask a question, the business would either pretend that they understood it and give some really weird business rules information, or just kind of throw up their hands. Mm-hmm. Not having a translator, according to a very recent Harvard Business Review article, accounted for the idea that 72% of all AI projects are not meeting expectations. And that is shareholder, that is the organizations and the business stakeholders, the operation people, it is not meeting the expectations.
Wow, so I think about a BA, they've already got a pretty full plate. And I think about some of the more technical kinds of things that they can find themselves doing, whether it's modeling or the kinds of elicitations that they have to do and all of that, tracing, for example. Do you see more specialization in BAs, perhaps? I mean, this sounds like a lot to add to the plate to be able to translate between, say, a data scientist, quite frankly, I'm not even really sure what they do, and the business folks. I mean, do you see specialization happening more?
Well, I do, and one of the things that I've seen over the last couple of years is that BAs fulfill lots of different roles. They could be full stack BAs, which is kind of like what you're talking about. They have a full plate, they do everything from the beginning to the end. But I'm also seeing BAs that are specializing at the strategic level. Mm-hmm. So helping organizations with their AI strategies, figuring out what is the best approach to take advantage of these AI technologies. Also, very importantly, and more recently, is the data analyst. So the BA who's functioning as a data analyst. There's a lot to that role. Again, more than we have time to go into today. But basically, there are a couple of things. There are a lot of pitfalls relating to data as organizations start implementing these AI initiatives, these projects. Data is a huge deal. Dirty data is a huge deal. So the data analysts or the BAs who are data analysts have to worry about a myriad of data, dirty data issues. I mean, just dirty data.
What is dirty data?
Okay, so here's an example. Something called that if you don't have a single source of the data, it's sometimes called a source of system or a source of record. So you have customer information. And it's in a bunch of different databases, as an example. We need one, right? If the machines are going to use it as history and learn from it, this customer, Joe Smith, whatever, where's that going to come from? And who owns that data? This has always been a problem on projects. But with AI projects, it just makes it so much more complex and so much more important, because if they're going to be doing predictions, if they're basing it on the wrong data, wow, that's going to be a mess. Okay. The BA just, or the data analyst, just facilitating that conversation among all the different parties about who owns this, and then coming to consensus on this is who Joe Smith or Joe Doe is.
And making sure then, I presume, that the other records that you get for other people come from the same place.
That there is a single source. Yes. And that's the important thing. Okay. That there is a single source of record, as it's called. So that in itself, imagine data that hasn't been cleansed, data that isn't cleaned up. Okay. Imagine data that's coming from multiple places, we don't know where. That in and of itself accounts for 40% of all the AI problems that there are. 40%, so almost half of all the problems relate to the data.
So you see this really being addressed to in the certification world then too. You look at IIBA, CBDA, their certified business data analyst.
Certification of business data analysis. Yeah, absolutely. And people are recognizing how important this role is. Again, from an industry perspective, bad data, and by the way, no one wants to cleanse the data. That's one of the things, and originally that was a role that the data scientists had to play. Sometimes it would be the data analyst, and people just hate that, but it has to be done. But first of all, we have to figure out, you know, how clean does the data need to be? Think about this for a second. We want to get AI out there quickly. We want to do it agilely. We want to get this project done. how clean does the data need to be? Does it have to be perfect? Doesn't it have to be perfect? There's no right or wrong answer, but someone also has to facilitate that conversation.
Wow.
Someone has to first find out how dirty the data is.
Yeah. Well, and then also understanding how does that align with the AI strategy?
Yeah.
I mean, ultimately, it has to start there, and you have to be able to articulate or understand and communicate with the stakeholders then how those are aligned.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Wow. Excellent point. Wow. Excellent point.
So this idea of data digital fluency, what does that mean?
I actually came across a definition that I like. So let me just kind of I want to just kind of go through it and then explain a little bit. So really what digital fluency is, it's the ability to effectively and ethically interpret information, discover meaning, things that PMs and BAs do all the time, design content, we do that all the time, construct knowledge. To me, that's like synthesizing a lot of different information, pulling it together, but knowledge, it's all data, knowledge-based, and communicate ideas, but to do it in a digitally connected world. So in other words, doing a lot of things, being fluent in a lot of ways that, mm-hmm. that PMs and BAs have been fluent in the past, but in a digitally connected world. But there's one more thing I want to emphasize on this definition, that is the ability to effectively and ethically. We always in the past talked about efficiently and effectively, effectively and efficiently.
Right.
What are we talking about now? Effective and ethics. So huge, so huge.
What kind of ethical concerns would there be around this stuff?
It is really easy to have built-in biases in the algorithms. And again, one of the pitfalls that I talked about, I think, was the data scientists trying to get the business rules from the business stakeholders. And if they don't understand the questions that are being asked, they're not going to provide good information. But let's just say that the business rules are built on what's been successful in the past, but that in and of itself has built-in biases. So this is what's worked for us in the past,
mm-hmm.
but those biases may not reflect the current demographics of an organization, or the customers of an organization. And this gets very, very complex for global companies when we're rolling things out on a global basis. So there are built-in biases that may not reflect the standards, the milieu, if you will, the demographics of the organizations, and may not build digital trust, which is part of what we're talking about here.
So I'm about 75% there. Is there an example that you could give me that might give us that might illustrate this?
Well, one of the examples that I like to use is, let's just say we're in an HR environment, and I'm an HR person. I'm in charge of recruiting, and I want to build an AI application. I want an algorithm that's going to get the best person to develop, let's just say, to develop the AI application, so to be involved in those kinds of projects. So I look at, we use history based on what has worked in the past. Here are the people. Here are the characteristics. So I'm building this. I'm talking to the data scientist who's going to build the algorithm. Here are some of the characteristics that have worked well for us in the past. And so they build that in, the machines learn from that, and so that only the resumes of people who match those characteristics And so again, if we have a certain type of person, a certain type of demographics that's not, that has worked in the past but may not reflect what our customers want.
Or may not capitalize on opportunities to tap into other, you know,
absolutely.
Maybe candidates in other parts of the world, for example,
exactly.
Or a different demographic.
Different demographic, okay. Lots of different, okay. It could be an age demographic, it could be a culture, it could be lots and lots of things, lots and lots of biases.
Okay. So if I'm a PM or a BA today and I'm thinking, you know, I'm a digital PM or BA, who are some of the different SMEs that I might be I think I've heard a couple, you mentioned a couple, but who are some of the, how might my work be different, or who might I be working with that would be different than, say, it might have been a few years ago?
So a couple of things. One, I've already a couple I've already mentioned. Mm-hmm. One, of course, are the security stakeholders, okay. Very important part of our project. Another is the data scientist. And by the way, maybe subsequently we can talk about the difference between a data scientist and a data analyst and whatnot, okay. But the data scientists would be another. User experience designers might be another. So the UX designers, because that is different from designing user interfaces. So UX designers might be another one. How do we get at what our end customers really want? That might be something else we need to think about, the people who are actually going to use the application. So that might be someone else that we would want on the team. Metrics. By the way, there was an article in Forbes yesterday about the importance of metrics on agile projects. Well, the importance of metrics on all these projects is really, really important. So we may want to have some of those stakeholders as well.
Yeah, and that leads into another question I have. Does it go without saying that these are invariably agile, that they're being done with an agile framework?
I'm going to say that they should be done in an agile framework. Whether they are universally done agilely, mm-hmm. I'm not sure. But I think that if we're developing predictions for our customers and whatnot, if we're developing these applications, if we try and do this in a non-agile way, I think we're not going to meet expectations. And when I'm talking about agile, I mean project agility, but I also mean business agility. And that's one of the hardest proverbial nuts to crack, so to speak. I think as hard as it is to get project agility throughout mm-hmm. an organization, imagine trying to change an organization to themselves have the processes and technologies in place. But the answer to your question is it should be, even if it's not.
And digital is not specific to any particular industry. Are there industries being left out of this? It's hard to imagine that there would be, but I mean healthcare or anybody, it's tapping into that data, right?
Absolutely.
And the big data, everybody's there, right?
Well, I don't know about everybody, but it's huge in healthcare. It's huge in the government, as we can imagine. It's huge in retail. Mammoth in retail. Yeah. Manufacturing, absolutely, with robotics and whatnot. I mean, it's just, I can't think of an industry. Engineering, yeah. I can't think of one offhand that is not huge.
So if I'm listening to this and I'm thinking, you know, that digital stuff sounds pretty cool. I really want to move in that direction. And I want to be able to market myself with a digital BA or a digital PM. What are the things that I should be doing to make it so that I can plug into those kinds of environments and be effective?
Well, I think the first thing is that we have to learn as much as we possibly can about our digital world, about AI. I recommend, as I said, when I started out, the word algorithm was terrifying to me. So I had to dig into it. And dig into it and dig into it some more and read and read and just ask questions and then find out the answers, talk to whoever I could to get the answers. I highly recommend talking to data scientists. I highly recommend talking to anyone in the organizations who want to talk to strategic decision makers about the direction. We want to keep this business focused. Mm-hmm. So you want to make sure we can talk to very technical people, but I don't think that's going to serve us well. We need to keep in mind that we're BAs, we're PMs, we're going to be doing BAPM work, but we want to learn as much about these things as we can by reading, by looking at YouTube. I looked at a lot of YouTube stuff. Mm-hmm. By talking to people within the organization, talking to people external to the organization. Just, again, as I said, every day there's an article that I want to read about relating to the stuff. And by the way, just parenthetically, speaking of good articles, there was another article yesterday in HBR, Harvard Business Review, about don't hire digital experts for your head of your digital efforts. I think they call it AI.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they cited examples where organizations had done that, totally failed, started off well, totally failed, whereas you hire a business leader who can learn about AI in the digital world. They're the ones that tend to do the best. And that's kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You don't have to be the data scientist, but you do need to know about it.
Yeah, it occurs to me too, as we're talking, that both PMI and IIBA have good resources as well. They've had some really excellent white papers and some other great sources that we have traditionally gone to that have had to that have been leaders as well. And
yes,
and so I think it's worth mentioning.
I think that's a really I'm so glad you brought that up. And recently, last March, IIBA did a study with UST Global, and they came out with a wonderful white paper. Paper on what is a digital BA. And by the way, I think that Watermark has some wonderful resources too, some wonderful articles and blogs and presentations. And that's something that people can tap into as well.
Absolutely. Terrific. All right. Well, anything else you can think of that if you were wondering what is it all about that maybe I haven't asked or...
I don't think so. I do want to emphasize that even though there's a lot written and talked about the digital BA, I think that it's important for project managers to understand that there is such a thing, or there should be such a thing as a digital project manager. Get yourself involved as well. And I think that this is absolutely the direction that organizations that are industry is going, project management, business analysis, the organizations themselves. I do presentations and articles on trends, and this year almost every trend relates to AI. So I think it's really important to get yourself involved.
Great. Thanks so much. Well, thank you so much for talking with me today. This has been very informative as well as fun, and I think our listeners will get a lot out of it too. So thanks so much for joining me, Elizabeth.
Well, thank you so much. A lot of fun for me too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.